Okay, well, thanks to all the speakers. And now I really would like to open the floor up to voices from the audience. And we have two mics here. Yes.
Yes, my name is Tom Hansen. I'm with the Prepare the General Strike Committee, a bunch of activists who have been working that for a while. I would just, before I say what I really want to say, two short little stories. My grandfather was a communist who got active in around the Soviet Revolution in Denmark. He became very good as an activist. He became very good at calling strikes. So good that about 3 years after the Second World War, he was approached by the union movement in Denmark and said, "Would you please stop calling strikes? And in return, we will give you a job." He got himself a job around the late 40s. He stayed in it until about 62 when he retired. And that job involved going to work 2 days a week, 2 hours a day, having a shower and coming home again. He stopped calling strikes. 2 weeks ago, his great-granddaughter got a job, which was a union job, HEU, looking after seniors, looking after mentally health patients that she's been doing for 10 years. When she was given the job, the first thing she was told was that the rate you're being hired at today, don't expect to get it, because we're going to be reducing it. We're currently negotiating with the HEU and the group of unions, and everybody's going to have to take a cut. She's petrified. She's never called a strike. She has no idea what it means to fight back in that sense. Basically because, one of the reasons, because her great-grandfather stopped fighting back in the late 40s. And that's one of the reasons why we are here today, where we are. It's because the left progressive movement has forgotten how to fight. We know how to call meetings. We know how to sign petitions. We know how to make protests. We know how to write great treaties. But we really do not know how to fight in such a way that it will get the attention of the powerful in this society. And to get their attention, you have to make it so costly to them by what we do that it's affecting their incomes and their wealth. And not until that happens will they pay attention. Well, it's a real tragedy as to where we have arrived at today. I'm one of the lucky ones. I've been in a union job 90% of my life. I've had a good income. But my kids and the people today and what they're faced with, they're facing a very bleak future, and they don't know what to do about it. And that comes out of our history. This left social progressive has a large part to do with this. Not just the right wing. The right wing has always been where they are. They always want to do us in, but we have to fight. So what I'm saying is that until we're willing to hit those streets and to make ourselves felt in such a way that it becomes costly to business, we are not going to win. And it will have to take that kind of activity. And I hope that people will start realizing that and start doing something about that. And it means, by the way, calling the union leaders to task, because they are one of the greatest bulwark in this country against getting progressive things done, because they are only good at talking. They are not good at fighting. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Marilyn, and one of my concerns is I happen to be a disabled person. I happen to be a very poor disabled person. I have a girlfriend who is a special needs vision teacher in a district I'm not going to mention, but anyway, her school board, it comprises about however many people on the board of complete and total morons. Her kids are mainly vision kids, blind, partially blind, losing their vision, whatever. She has 24 schools to go to. She has 32 students to see. They are giving her 1 hour per student, and she's not allowed to drive her car from school to school to get to those kids. And she is going frantic. She's on the edge of burnout. I know she's on the edge of burnout because she phones me every night. How the hell do I hold her up? Why aren't we holding our teachers up? They're taking our kids' education away. And that's so wrong. These are kids that have a chance they can do something. But they're not giving them the chance. They're saying, oh, well, you know, that one's got spastic hands, so don't give them vision care. Oh, maybe that kid that's got spastic hands and needs vision care could do something. And if it was like, oh, what's that guy's name? You know, the one in the wheelchair, the theory of whatever, Stephen Hawking. I mean, maybe if it was him, maybe if our present system had been in his way, maybe he wouldn't have got anywhere either. We need to back up our kids.
Hi, good evening. My name is Shala. I am a woman activist and I am a concerned citizen. I would like to just make two brief comments here. First of all, I hear that all panelists are talking about cutbacks and about liberal government's agenda regarding cuts, but I think the panelists are talking about people who are responsible for these cuts very vaguely. To me, this is not just a liberal government's agenda. This is a capitalist regime agenda that is doing all over the world, and Canada is not separate from the world and from their policies that is affecting people's lives around the world. And the second comment, I would be very delighted to see one of the people who are working or giving services to new immigrants. I know that these cuts is gonna affect family services, new immigrant family services too. But I don't see anybody here. To me, the immigrant people, especially immigrant women, are one of the most people that who are affected by these cuts very much. And as we know that people come to Canada just for a better life, of course. That's why it's not just for fun to leave their country and come to the country that they won't gain anything here either. And just because of the corporate agenda is affecting all people's life, and immigrant people are one of among those people who are affected by the agenda. But as we know, immigrant women would... when they come into Canada, they are looking for a job. They can't find a job just because of maybe, first of all, because of language barrier. And or if they apply for a job, they would be get answer like, you don't have Canadian experience. But where is the Canadian experience? This is like a catch 22. If you don't work, you don't get experience, of course. And that's why most of them, for most of them, it's hard to get a decent job, and the only way, hope, I don't want to say hope because that's not good hope, but only way maybe they can bring bread to the table is just turn to the services that they might get from the, you know, the like welfare, for example. But they are being cut too. And that's why I think it's good to address the woman immigrant issue here too, as because they are being discriminated and marginalized too. And to talk about this too. And if we have somebody in the panel, that would be perfect. Thanks.
Hi, my my name's Jen. I am a human rights activist. I do a lot of different things in that realm, but the most recent thing that I did was this past summer I stood up for our right for clean water, and I blockaded in the Walbrand, and I spent 51 days in jail. Thank you. So the first thing I want to make sure that everybody knows here tonight is that Burnaby Correctional Center for Women is closing in April. It's another one of the cuts. And those women are not going to have very much at all. So if you think about the war on women that's happening, and every one of you have different experiences, think about what that would be like. They're going to be sitting in city cells, and I can tell you that's not very much fun. Maybe Kim could tell us a little bit more later about what the prospects are for them, but it's extremely grim. When I was in there, I promised them that I would mention it every time I got the chance. So that's what I have to say about that. I am reverberating between rage and despair, exactly what you said, Kim. And I am so angry, I can hardly stand it. Things are terrible in Burma, just terrible. And I worked in Burmese Human Rights for Burma for a while. In fact, I met a young lady here tonight who is a member of the Vancouver Burma Roundtable. It's a good organization. They do some good things. But what I found was right here in my own country, my own community, this is where there was unbelievable human rights abuses happening right here. For example, we're living on stolen land. That is unacceptable. That's unacceptable. First Nations are in debt $10 million so that they can fight to get their land back? That's unacceptable. It's another one of the many lies that we live as Canadians. And I'm a proud Canadian, but I'd like to see it be the country that it was meant to be. So I have an idea. It's a wild idea. I just want to know what everybody thinks about it. It's called the Campaign to Divert the GST to the LST. We all know what the GST is. The LST is the life support tax. Like it. Okay, so what we do, number one, we start canvassing businesses to see if they will cooperate. Look around all your communities and see how many empty buildings there are and how many failed businesses. Now, if they don't make their quarterly payments to Ottawa and they make it to the coalition, then we've got the money. We've got the money to save lives now. These are human rights violations we're talking about. It's no different than when the Nazis were taking people away. It's no different. And this is our gender they're attacking. This is us women. I have a daughter, I have a granddaughter. I'm not going to let this happen. I've already been to jail, I'm ready to go back, but I'd rather not. I'd rather stay out here with all of you and turn this situation around, not just for us, but for every woman on the planet. I don't really think we have a choice. So I became familiar with the injunction process in this province. The injunction process is brought forward if you can prove irreparable harm. Irreparable harm, however you want to say the word. So when they start putting pressure on these businesses because they're not turning their money over to their quarterly payments and they're instead helping keep the community alive, and I know this is radical stuff I'm talking about here. That money's got to go into a fund. It's got to keep women and children and families alive. So we bring an injunction against them. These are just ideas I'm throwing out, sisters. We need an inquiry into the need for this LST tax. Vancouver City Council is planning to have a women's work task force. Violence against women is on the rise. Domestic murders in Ontario increased dramatically. Sex trade, you know it all. You talked about it. Meanwhile, all the businesses that partake are protected, praised, and others are boycotted. The money is recorded by an independent body and distributed by grassroots. We get the doctors on board. We show the film about how we got our health care system in the first place. It was an extremely contentious fight. It took a long time. It was a hard go. But What choice do we have? We're dying. I think we can write a letter to Paul Martin tonight. We can send him a letter tonight from this meeting and say what we demand. I have a draft here if anyone wants to look at it. Okay. But
I'm going to ask the panel if they want to respond to some of the speakers now.
Thank you.